Listen, I want you to hear this today, please. I mean, I can't even tell you how many are in this room. I can't tell you how many are here last night or the first service. But if just those who are here this weekend get this, I mean really get this message, this region will not be the same. Your workplace will not be the same. Your high school will not be the same. Your college campus will not be the same. If we get this. Folks, this message is about the purpose of why we exist. The very first purpose of Believer's Chapel. Why does Believer's Chapel exist? Is to see people saved. Is to see people set free. Is to see people fear God. Is to see people live out worship. Is to see people live out truth. And to see people honor Christ as the King. We're going to talk about evangelism this morning. Why is it that we are so strong in evangelism in this church? Why is it that 2 months ago, 38 people are baptized? Now, next week, and about an hour from this time, next week, we got over 20 people being baptized. That's an incredible baptism for a year. That's amazing what has taken place, that people are getting saved and people are turning their lives to Christ and people are recognizing what they are being saved from. Why is it that I need Jesus? And people are getting it. Folks, if you're going to walk the walk of faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the ingredients, if we're going to walk this thing and know what it takes, is what Jesus declared that you and I are. Folks, we've got to have a hunger for the lost. We've got to have a desire for the lost to get saved. We've got to be burdened for those who don't know Christ, folks. This should be our burden. This should be our passion, folks. And man, next 2 weeks from now, we're having West Arm coming. He's an evangelist, and he will preach, and we are going to see souls won. We are going to believe and are praying and fasting and believing that God is going to work through him in a powerful way, that lives are going to be changed. Listen, do you get it? This is alive and powerful, man. This is the absolute truth. One verse, one message can rearrange an entire eternity. One message can rearrange an entire family for an entire eternity. That's the power of God's word, folks. And this is what we stand on in this church. And it is our desire. It is our desire to win this region. And please get this. This message is about evangelism. And someone said, man, you are preaching to the choir. In a very positive way, say, man, we already know this, but we need to hear it again. We got to recognize that we are all evangelists. If you know Christ, it should be a burden in your heart to win the lost. It should be a passion of your desire to do what you do in order that others might come to know him. Life is short, folks. Life is short, and this is our time to do what God's called us to do. We do not have yesterday. Tomorrow may belong to someone else. This is our time to do what God's called us to do. And one of the things that it takes in this walk is to understand our place in evangelism. The Bible says my job, my responsibility is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's to equip you to go out and serve and to do a work and have such a burden for the lost. Come on, two places this morning. Turn to Matthew 5 and put a marker, please. Matthew 5, put a marker, and we'll be there in a minute. And then flip over to the very beginning, Genesis 2. God, you're amazing, and I thank you. Thank you for this day. Powerful time in worship. God, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. I'm asking by your Holy Spirit, you would make this so clear to us today. God, that we would leave this place motivated. We would leave this place encouraged. We would leave this place built up and recognizing our responsibility as the church, our responsibility as an individual, to win the lost. God, evangelism, man, it should be what we breathe, God, is for the lost. Father, I thank you. God, open our eyes to see what we need to see. Open our ears to hear what we need to hear. God, I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart, that our heart would be so hungry for truth. We'd starve for truth. Feed us this morning. Father, feed us this morning. And I ask that you would ask God this morning, speak to me this morning. God, speak to me today. I need to hear from you today, God, that I walk out of this place different from when I came in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, Genesis 2, folks. We got to recognize this. Some of this is going to be stuff that I really believe we need to hear and we need to go over and we need to understand. If we're going to be a church that is going to be winning the lost, we're going to be a church that we are praying for people, for souls to be on. We want to be a church that we are desperately broken for the lost and for the hurting and for the hopeless. Then this is what we need this morning is evangelism and to recognize what it is to be an evangelist. And why is it that people need Jesus? Why is it that people need Christ? Listen, any great story and any great movie, listen, I'm a police officer, love the cop movies. You know what? You wouldn't be a good cop if there were no bad guys, right? So you recognize there's not like superheroes, right? Everyone loves the new superhero movies that are coming out. They're awesome. Superhero movies would be really lame if there wasn't a bad guy or a villain, right? I mean, it would be like, okay, oh, he saved the milkman. That's great. Powerful, right? I mean, oh, he helped the lady cross the street. What a superhero. I mean, it would be boring and make no money, and then we would never go see the superhero movie if there wasn't a really good bad guy. Well, it's no different from the truth of God's word. There's a very serious bad guy. His name's Satan, and he's a villain. And he's evil. He's very real. And he's the greatest liar, deceiver of all. And he hates God. He hates Christ. We're made in his image, and he hates us because we're made in the image of God. There's a very real problem, a very real, serious problem, and it's called sin. But every story has a very real hero, and the solution is Jesus. When you recognize that, that is the gospel in simplicity. There's a very serious issue, and it's sin. There's a very serious bad guy, and it's Satan. There's a very real, amazing, all-powerful hero, and it's Jesus. When you break it down like that, it's simple. Folks, come on, we're going to go to the problem first. Genesis 2 says this. Listen, this is after creation. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the things that swim, the things that fly, created the stars, the sun, the moon. He created the beast, and then he creates man. And he places man right in the middle of perfection. This is right after creation. Corruption has not yet come. Fruit, amazing. Water, crystal pure. I mean, it was perfect water, perfect fruit, perfect food, unstained, unblemished, incredible. And here Jesus gives Adam, he gives him one rule. He says, listen, you live in the garden and it's perfect. And there are trees everywhere that you can eat from. And Adam, you got nothing to compare it to, but I guarantee you it is the best food that you will ever eat on this planet. Please hear this. It was the best food. It was the clearest water because sin hasn't corrupted anything yet. They had it, folks. They had it made. And he says, you can eat from any tree. Look at this. And the Lord commanded the man. This is a commandment, one rule. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For when you eat of that, you shall surely die. One rule. That's it. I mean, folks, it's like you loving chocolate and you go into the chocolate factory and there is just streams of chocolate. It is the best, absolute, amazing chocolate. It is Snickers. It is Twix. It is like everything, right? And then you've got the gummy worms. I don't know why anybody eats gummy worms, so I'm going to use gummy worms. And he says, don't eat the gummy worms. And what do you go for? The gummy worms. I don't know why anybody would eat gummy worms, but Adam went for the gummy worms. Satan shows up, deceives the woman. Verse 6 says this, then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took from it and ate. God said, don't eat. She took from it and ate. You know what the baseline of sin is, folks? The very first sin, the very first baseline of sin. God gave a command, and they broke his command. It's disobedience. When you break this thing down, God says, I command you can have anything except this. And they ate that which God said don't eat. Folks, that is disobedience, and that is the absolute foundation, basis of sin. Now look at this. We got to recognize this. Romans says this. This is great about clarifying, recognizing, why is it that we need you? Why is it that you and I, who know and understand Christ, recognize what we have been saved from? Look at what it says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. This word death in the Greek, it is thanatos. It means eternally separate from the presence of God. Could you imagine that? To be eternally separate from the very presence of God. He said the wages, that which is earned from sin, because way back in Genesis 2, the very beginning, the disobedience, sin showed up. Look at this, Romans 5. Therefore, just through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all sin because all sinned. Look at this. Gang, we've got to recognize it is a very serious, real issue that people, if we are going to be evangelists and we're going to be serious about winning the lost, then we have got to pitch correctly. We've got to strike, man. We got to pitch straight and we got to pitch correctly of why is it? When someone asks you, well, why do I need Jesus? Serious question. Folks, until somebody recognizes and understands that they are in a very lost, desperate state, they will not look to be found. Until they recognize, based on Genesis 2 and 3, based on the recognition of sin coming in the world, based on the recognition of sin through one man, therefore death entered to all men because all sin, based on a really serious understanding for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, recognizing a very serious basis that death equals sin, sin equals death, and that is separated from God for you. And that is the very basis of why we need Jesus, is because of sin. And until someone recognizes and understands, why do I need Christ? Because you are desperately, hopelessly lost without Jesus. Listen, John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody goes, yay, amen, that's great. John 3, 17 says this. God did not send Jesus into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved. You know what that word saved means? It means rescued. Jesus came on the greatest rescue mission of all time, folks. Because every single person who's ever had breath is very much in a very lost, desperate place who need to be rescued. And Jesus came to rescue the world from sin. So we got to recognize the problem is sin. The solution is Jesus. Jesus makes it clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus in John 10:9 says, listen, there's a field behind me, and that is eternity. And the only way to get into that field, that I'm the door, I'm the gate, I'm the only way through entrance into this field. Jesus has made it abundantly crystal clear that He is the answer, and He is the only solution. Listen, please get this. There's so much garbage teaching, and there's so much false teaching, and there's so much reality check to what the enemy is doing, folks. This thing called Unitarianism, this thing called many ways to God. You can believe in a tree and you'll be saved. You can believe in the water and you can, folks, I'm telling you what, it's crazy dangerous. And listen, there are so many ways to God and there's so many different religions. There's so many, well, that's just your mindset. That's just what your church believes. Our church says this, and that's just what, are you kidding me? Listen, the enemy doesn't give a rip what man believes as long as it's not Jesus, because the enemy is very understanding and he knows that Christ is the only way to salvation. Christ is the only way to eternal life. Christ is the only way to God because of what He's done on the cross. And gang, you and I have to be very aware and very firm on the fact if we are going to evangelize the lost, if that's going to be the absolute mission of this church, mission of your individual world, mission of your campus, mission of your high school days, mission of you of a parent in the neighborhood, worker, or whatever the case is, that if it is your mission, then you got to know, why is it that people need to be saved? Because they are desperately lost. And Jesus came on the greatest rescue mission of all time. And Jesus made it crystal clear. He's the only way. And the enemy doesn't care what you believe, as long as it's not Jesus. And we as a church have to stand so strong. We as an individual who recognize and trust in the truth to know and declare that Jesus, listen, Luke 19:10, Jesus made it clear, I came to seek and to save. I came to pursue. This word seek, it means to pursue, to chase down, to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the purpose of Christ coming, is to pursue. Isn't it amazing that the King of Kings came and pursued you and chased you down in order that you might be saved? Listen, he stands before Pilate. And Pilate's like, what is this that you're a king? He says, I came as king to testify to truth. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to testify to himself that he is the only way. Gang, that was the purpose of his coming. And we've got to recognize that as evangelists, and we've got to recognize that as the church, to really debunk any other theory, thought, deceived lie that there's many ways to Jesus. Oh, go suck on your flower. Have a great day. I mean, come on. Dang, it's you and I as evangelists who recognize if I'm going to walk this walk of faith, then I need to be an evangelist. Come on, Matthew 5. I want you to show you something this morning. It's powerful stuff. But folks, I want you to understand something. We are not a thumb-sucking saint church. I need to build you up as warriors for the fight that is going to show up in your world. I need to build you up and equip you for what's ahead. I need, folks, if you stub your toe, get over it. Because when you recognize the really war that we're in and you recognize the fight we're in, you will not want to be babysat. You will not want to be babysat when you recognize that I've got the armor and I am ready for war and I recognize what's taking place. I stub my toe and I keep going. Listen, I mean, a funny story that ended well for me, okay? Get out of work at the PD the other night, about 2:30 in the morning, get home, 2:45, I'm a mess. We made some arrests. I'm dirty. Can't wait to get in the shower, put my PJs on. Can't wait to snuggle with my queen. And I'm thinking, oh, there's one more thing I got to do. So I'm on my way down my stairs. I got stairs that go this way and hard right, okay? I have hit these stairs thousands of times. I miss a step at the top. I mean, you ever see the stunt guys who go head over heels right after they get shot or whatever? I'm telling you, it was movie, man. If there was a film, it would have. I mean, I'm head over heels. My arm's all bleeding. I'm at the bottom of the stairs. I mean, I like boom, hit the wall, bounce, going upside down and backwards. And I'm like, you're an idiot. I mean, how many times have you missed? I mean, come on, you miss a step. What is wrong with you, right? And then someone today in the first service says, now, did you actually accomplish what you set out to accomplish? I said, I went to that stupid fish tank that I have, and I did what I had to do in them dumb fish. Point is this, I'm sore. I mean, it was messed up, man. I'm like, you're so stupid. Wow, how do you miss? How you can't walk, man? It's crazy. That's just my life. My wife loves me. She has to. But the point is this, folks. The simplicity of that story is I finished the task. Look, I took my hit, and I'm not going back upstairs until I fix my stupid fish. Well, there's times when you are going to walk right, folks, you're going to get hit. There's a cost to you and I. Salvation was free. We give up our sin, he gives us life. We repent and turn, he gives us an eternity with him. He gives us joy, he gives us peace, he gives us boldness, he gives us confidence, incredible. But you got to understand the very battle that you're in. If you are going to get hit, you got to take your hits and you got to keep going. And this is what he says. Listen, in Matthew 4, he tells the people, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then he goes in, he finds a hill. The Bible says large crowds gathered around Jesus. We see biblically in the New Testament, large crowds could have been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people crowding around the miracle worker, Jesus. So Jesus has to go up on a hillside for all to see him. And he begins to preach the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. And this is what he tells them. This is amazing. I want you to see this because this is the fight. If we are going to be evangelists, we've got to recognize the stance that you and I have to take in our righteousness. And here, righteousness means right before God. It means right as God set the standard, not worldview, not political view, not popular view, not your opinion. What God said is right and his standard of what is right. That's what he is saying here. Please understand that. Not your view, not worldview, not public view, not public opinion, not what this person said, not what that person said. What God says is right. He set the standard of what right. That's what righteousness means. Look at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Gang, if you and I are in right relationship with him, we are going to be hungry and thirsty and starving for what God said is right. And then look at this. This is great. This is where we start taking hits. Verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are those. God says you will be blessed if you are persecuted for the sake of what is right. Dang, you and I have to put our stake in the ground and say, God said this is right, and He's never changed His mind. And I'm going to stand with God, and I'm going to believe that God is right. And His opinion is the only opinion that matters. And what God declared, and the Bible says they are persecuted for the very sake to stand for what is right, according to what God's saying. We are in in evangelism, we're in a very serious place of darkness trying to overtake light. And it's you and I who are to stand for what is right. Now look at this, verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. That's the kicker. Jesus says, listen, if you are going to stand for righteousness, you're going to take some hits. But no, God sees and knows all things. God knows exactly what's taking place. God knows every hit. God knows every insult. God knows every lie that anyone has ever told because you stand for Him, folks. Because you're one who says, I belong to Him. His word is absolute truth. I'm going to stand right before Him. I'm going to obey His commands. I'm going to declare sin is sin. Sin is against God. And I'm going to stand in such a way. Look, this is great. Persecute, insult, lie about you because of me. That's huge. And He says this. This is amazing. Verse 13. He declares to the thousands, you are the salt of the earth. I want you to get this, please. Because He is declaring to thousands in that day, you are the salt of the earth. You got to recognize who He's talking to here. He is talking to the masses. He's possibly talking to the thousands. And in that day, they took the sun as absolute most important because you got to have the sun. It grows things. We live by the sun. And these people in this day recognized that the sun was first importance to their world. You know what was second importance to the world? Salt. And here Jesus is declaring to these people who understand the very importance and influence of salt on their culture. And He says, you are that important, you are that valuable to the earth, that you are the salt of the earth. And see, salt, folks, was used as currency. Salt is what the Roman soldiers were paid. It was valuable. We take salt and we put it on our steak and we put it down and we don't give it a second thought. Yet Christ, our King, declares us to be the salt of the earth. You know what salt did in that day? It held off putrefaction. It held off decay. It held off, folks. That's the power of salt, as it holds back meat from decaying. It holds back meat from putrefying. I mean, anyone have a wife who pulls out some nasty meat from their fridge? Here, honey, smell that. Is that decaying? Honey, it's smoking. Yes, it's bad. I mean, I don't need to eat that. Look at it. It's bad. Folks, do you realize that our King has declared that you and I are to stand in such a position in our righteousness, right, as God declares what is right? And that holds back decay, and that holds back putrefaction. When you begin to recognize and understand, when you stand for righteousness, you are in direct opposition to Satan. This is where we've got to be war ready. This is where we've got to understand what Jesus is saying in righteousness, insult, persecution, what Jesus is declaring to the people then and now to you and I today, that you are the salt of the earth and you are what's holding back absolute pure decay. You are what's holding back putrefaction of this world based on sin. You are the salt. Isn't it amazing that He put it upon you and I to stand in absolute direct opposition to Satan, his world, and his system? And He declares that you and I are the salt, the very salt that holds back putrefaction of this world because of sin. That's powerful. And then He goes right into saying, and don't forget, you're the light to the world. Because as darkness comes in, the church, the believers, those who trust in Christ as King are the light. You are to illuminate the darkness. When darkness begins to overtake, light always, always chases off darkness. And he declares that you and I are a light. You and I are a city on a hill for all to see. Gang, I'm telling you what, please understand this. This faith is not for the weak. It's not for the wimp. It's not for those who are saying, well, I'm just going to hide my faith under a bushel. I'm not going to let anyone know that I'm a Christian. That did not come from here. Jesus, as a matter of fact, you're supposed to stand in the way of wickedness. Matter of fact, you're supposed to be on a hill for all to see your faith. Listen, I had a college student, I sat down with a college student this week, and she was telling me, not even knowing what I'm preaching on, she was telling me that this past summer, she's working out, and she's in the gym, and she's an athlete, and she's got some music on, and she's listening, I believe it was Skillet, and she's listening to this song from Skillet, it might have been their new album, and it just, she's a strong girl. Known her for many years, I've never seen her cry once. I mean, I've known her for a long time. And she tells me in the middle of the workout, in the middle of the gym, surrounded by all these people, she just broke and began to cry because she was so tired of knowing Christ and being shy about it. Knowing Jesus, and yet nobody knows that I know Jesus. And she says, it just broke me. I got to leave the gym and I got to go get things right. And she really made a declaration that I will not be shy. I will be that city on a hill for all to see. Because that is what our King has called us for, folks. That is what the King has declared for you and I. To be a city on a hill, to not be ashamed, to be bold, to overtake darkness by our light. And the light that's within us is Christ. And gang, when we understand this, when we get the reality of why Christ has left us here, why Christ gives us an assignment, why Christ declares you're the salt and you're the light. Gang, when you begin to understand this and you begin to recognize that this is our time, folks. This is our time to win the lost. Our time to be salt. Our time to be light. Our time to be bold. Our time to not be ashamed. Listen, those who have come before us, their time is done and over, man. They've got no time left. Those, if the Lord would tarry, would come after us, then that's their future and that would be their time. Gang, please hear this, church. This is our time to win the lost. This is our time to stand for what is right. This is our time to declare we are salt and we're going to end putrefaction. Our time to be light, city on a hill for all to see. Our time not to be ashamed. What do we have to be ashamed about? Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? That we would recognize there are so many people in our world that we know who are lost and desperate and broken and hopeless because they don't have Christ, because they bought into some other lie. And it's you and me. Listen, our King has left it up to us to get the gospel out. It is our time to preach and it's our time to speak truth and it's our time to live in such a way. Listen, could you imagine if we just had 500 people in this church that just had a serious fear of God and love for Christ and a hate for sin, we would change this region. And I'm telling you what, that's the plan of Believer's Chapel. Give them praise, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is our plan, is to see this region not the same. That is our plan. To stand for what is true and what is right. That is our plan, to be a light, folks, that people are collected to. When they see the light in dark times, people will come. Unless you've had your head in the sand, folks, it's getting darker. And I want to lead a church of people who are so bold in their faith and not ashamed because they recognize what they've been saved from. They recognize the hurt and pain that so many go through being lost and not in right relationship with Jesus. And this is our time. We do not get this back. High school student, this is your time. Take your hits. God Almighty, the great Creator, He says you'll be blessed. But stand. Stand for Him. College student, this is your time. Take your hits. God says you'll be blessed, that you stand for what's right, and you have zero, zero wiggle room. I will not back down. And you stand for what God says is right. Parent, mom and dad, you stand for your marriage, and you stand for what's right. And you not be ashamed of walking in an incredible marriage day after day and year after year and year after year that people look at that and say, that's amazing. And you say, that's Jesus. You can have that with Christ because it represents Christ in the church. And you stand in your marriage for what is right. And then you begin to raise up these amazing kids who are the next generation to win the generation that this is our time. Come on, stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Give them praise, folks. Amen. Come on. Come on, just bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that this is just truly what motivates us, God, to win the lost, to care for the lost as you have cared for the lost. That you've left us to do your work, left us to do your will, God. We thank you for it. We love you, that we will serve you, that we will be salt and light as you've called us to be. Jesus, thank you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Folks, if there's anyone in this place this morning, you're like, you know what? I know. I know that I am separate from God because of sin. And man, I want to trust in Christ for my salvation. I want to know that Jesus died for me. I know the problem is sin, and that separates me from God. And I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus is my solution. Jesus died for me. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. And I believe that He is raised from the dead and sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that you would this morning, right here and right now, ask God to forgive you your sins. Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. God, I recognize that I am lost. God, I recognize that I am in desperate need to be rescued. And that, Jesus, you came on the greatest rescue mission of all time. And that you put yourself on a cross for me, for my sin. I'm asking that you forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn from my sin. Christ, that you reign in me. I am calling on the name of Jesus so that I might be saved. So that I might be saved. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Folks, I'm asking that you just take this message out of here. You begin to see people in a different light as lost, broken, hurting, desperate, hopeless without Jesus. And you would seriously declare, you put your stake in the ground and not be moved. That I will be the salt of the earth. I will be the light to the lost. And I am willing to take my hits. Because my Father says I'll be blessed. Because my Father guarantees me that He will see me through. Because my Father guarantees me that when He is for me, who can be against me? Jesus, thank you. If you would, just raise your hands with me, please. That you would just, before the Lord this morning, just make a declaration. This is my time. This is my time. My time to be salt. My time to be light. This is our time as a church to shine out truth. This is your time as a college campus to rearrange your campus. Your time as husband and wife. Cannot get it back. That you declare before the Lord this morning, this is my time to walk in such a way, bold and strong, full of courage, that I will be the salt of the earth. And I will be a light sitting on a hill for all to see, and I will not be ashamed. This is my time. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Folks, give Him praise this morning. Thank you. Amen. Awesome. Yes. Yes.